It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy!
This evening's program should have a special opening, given the guest star of yesterday evening's brouhaha in Utah. You know, the fly.
Help me. Help me.
Right. So, exactly. Mm-hmm. The fly on Mike Pence's head. Hi, I'm Bob. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. And that's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place on this program between the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And that didn't come off as smoothly as I wanted it to, because, and this is just sort of a heads-up warning, something funny is going on with the interweb tubes here. Shit just doesn't, it's not as fast as it is supposed to be. Something is eating up all my fucking bandwidth, and I don't like it. So if we buffer or something like that, that's the cause of it. No doubt. But, yeah, everybody has been thinking about flies, Lord of the Flies, Beelzebub, demons, right. Because of the fly last night that landed in Mike Pence's hair and then wouldn't leave. Yeah. Of course, I got to thinking about things like that. And I was immediately reminded of a couple of different clips. This one came immediately to mind, because of course it did. Oh, we're just going to have all kinds of tech fun this evening, aren't we? Now, I know I'm doing everything right, and suddenly things aren't playing. Oh, because I'm using the wrong damn channel. There we go.
What am I talking about?
Jesus.
I can't hear you.
Jesus.
I still can't hear you.
Jesus
Christ, our Lord. Do you know his name? Have you seen his glory? Have you felt the warm and comfort of his precious love? Praise Jesus. Praise his holy name. Praise his blessed spirit. Praise his everlasting love. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen to me now. Listen to me. The prince of darkness is upon the lion. Amen. Now in the Bible, his name is Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies.
Yep. The prince of darkness walks upon the land. In the Bible, his name is Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. And he brought his buddy with him last night to Utah. But I also, because of the way my mind works, thought of something else. Namely, this.
You actually live in Guatemala?
Oh, he was gone for ages.
I was in the jungle, the bush we call it, for approximately 9 months.
9 months? My God, that really must have been something.
Sheldon, it was unbelievable. I saw things. They have tsetse flies down there the size of eagles.
Really? In the evening, I would stand in front of my hut and watch in horror
as these giant flies would pick children off the ground and carry them away.
My God.
All the things he told us.
Oh, it was an incredible sight. Peasants screaming, chasing these flies down the road, waving plumes. You can imagine the pathetic quality of this, waving these crudely fashioned brooms at these enormous flies as they carry their children off to almost certain death.
Oh, that is just the most horrible thing.
You sure these are flies you're talking about?
Flies. Natives had a name for them. Jose
the Grecos de Muertos. Oh. Flamenco dances of death.
You took those slides of them that never came out, remember?
Oh, that's a shame. I really would have liked to have seen those slides.
Yeah, I left them in a jacket that got modernized. I tell you, it broke my heart because those slides would have won me a Pulitzer Prize. The enormous flies flapping slowly away into the sunset. Small brown babies clutched in their beaks.
Wow.
Beaks. Flies with beaks.
Flies with beaks.
Sight I'll never forget. I was stunned, appalled.
What did you do?
What did I do?
As a consultant, what did you do about the flies?
Sadly, there's very little you can do because of the tremendous red tape in the bush.
There's red tape in the bush?
Enormous red tape, gentlemen. These flies, for example, they're protected against pilferage under the provisions of the Guacamole Act of 1917.
Yes, of course. The Guacamole Act of 1917. Well, apparently it's not just me. Randy in PA says, I spent all day in Comcast customer service hell. I came close to canceling my cable TV because of it. I don't know what's going on here, but everything is just slow as can be. And I really hope it's not going to mess with the quality of the program, but that possibility, I suppose, always exists. Hi, I'm Bob. Did I do? Yeah, I did. I think I did the hi, I'm Bob. And thanks to Lou in PA. Lou went out and voted again, because we can vote every day between now and the 11th. Vote for me for best media personality in West Virginia at wvliving.com. Remember, there's a link there at the top of the page at headon.live. It's easy. It's free. All you got to do is register an email address so they know that you're not voting more than once a day. And who knows? We may just shock the world. That would be wonderful. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Thanks go out for this eighth day of the month to our eighth day of the month subscribers. That means thanks going out to Sue in the Great Northwest, Poor Earth, and Brendan. Thank you, Brendan. And thank you, Marsha. And thank you, Dwayne. And thank you, Nancy. And thank you, Cecilia. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. Thanks also to our pal Joy in Ann Arbor. And Jeremy, thank you. And Ralphs, thank you. Those three have managed to reduce a rather horrifying fundraising goal from $585 down to $530. So $530 gets us even with the week, and I'm much obliged for that. Oh, wow, this doesn't happen very often. Our pal Joy in Ann Arbor says, I'm listening live for a few. I'm dead. Fly like an eagle. You kidding me? Yeah, I mean, there's so... Jeff Goldblum, I mean, I could have looked at...
Help me, help me.
You know, from The Fly. Oh, my God, last night. But what was more important, as Agnes and I were watching it last night, the vice presidential debate, which, by the way... Both sides immediately run out and claim victory. Only one of them, however, has a credible claim to be that they can support or any evidence to support their claim and make it credible. Yeah, and that would be Senator Kamala Harris's side, which is a good thing. I about fell out of my chair during the debate after party over on MSNBC when Nicole Wallace... And then Rachel Maddow, both of them referred to Mother Pence's husband as and his performance as and you just, you know, it's like we use certain there are words that come into play here on the program from time to time that you just don't expect to hear on radio programs elsewhere. Well, the same thing happened on MSNBC last night between Nicole Wallace and Rachel Maddow, as they referred to the performance of Mother Pence's husband as flaccid. Yes, flaccid. I don't know the last time that I heard the word flaccid used in for-profit broadcasting, but last night was one of them. And they pointed out that the only time he got animated at all, and... Remember, the performance you saw from Mike Pencilneck Geek last night was the product of weeks and weeks and weeks of preparation and strategery sessions in which the role of Kamala Harris was played by none other than Snot Walker. Charlie Pierce call him? Former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. The goggle-eyed homunculus. Former governor of Wisconsin. I guess they expected Kamala Harris to just, they were so afraid of her that they expected her to come out breathing fire, when instead she came out and was downright pleasant, even when Mother Pence's husband wasn't. But they were expecting a fire-breathing dragon. And so he was going to lay back and rope-a-dope and try to just bore us all to death. And so, well, as it turned out, the only time he managed to work up any animation whatsoever, no real surprise, was when he got to talking about how excited he was about Amy Coney Barrett, the Supreme Court nominee, and how he had no idea whether or not she would vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. Raid? Did I say raid? Don't say raid! You know, fly. But that was the only time he got worked up at all. The rest of the time he was, you know, flaccid. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. I've been awarded a cowbell for the Fly Like an Eagle Tsetse Fly cold opening. News Ninja Gene across the pond says, don't you know, Bob? That fly was Pence's earpiece. Well, I'm glad it's not me. Jeremy in Vermont also points out, I've noticed a slowdown on devices in the past few days, even while sitting next to my Wi-Fi gateway. Yep, Comcast. Well, this is Chantel, and we've had problems with Chantel in the past, but we're going to have to figure out some way to live with it simply because I had to let Frontier go the way of all flesh. Yeah, they are no more. So we'll just, but I have a feeling mine is probably caused by something like Ferg's PS4 doing some downloading or something. That's the best I can figure. Maybe Agnes will slip into the living room and unplug the damn thing and see if life gets any better. Yeah. One hopes. But anyway, the in terms of substance, it was as close to a civilized debate as we're likely to see in this election season. And what was of particular interest was the fact that there was not one but two plexiglass barriers. And I was glad of it when I saw that, either Mike Pencil Neck Geek has picked up a mean case of pink eye from tossing Mother Pence's salad, or he's got the Rona. Patient Zero, it looks like, may have super spread the Rona to the Vice President of the United States, which is, well, wouldn't be too terribly surprising, I guess, considering the cavalier attitude that maggot house brings to matters of safety and personal protection. But he was, his eye was red. And he didn't, maybe that's why he was so, his behavior was so strange. Then again, remember, he's a former professional broadcaster. He was a right-wing Rush Limbaugh wannabe back in Talibandiana before he became a Congress critter. Steve in New York pointing out, flies? I seem to remember Alex Jones equating Obama with Beelzebub when a fly landed on him. Well, yeah, and then there was the incident in which Barack Obama proved his intense ninja skills by catching a fly and killing it. Mm-hmm. Flies. We're down to talking about flies. And thank you to Liz for jumping in. That's very helpful. That takes us down to, let's see. Takes us down to 520. Thank you, Liz. Thank you very kindly for jumping in. James in Illinois says, There were two other contestants, Pence, Harris, Pence's fly, and Harris's monster. Lee in New York says, I know where that fly came from. I remember when Maxwell Smart was trying to find the listening device that the scientists demonstrated in the chief's office. Max picks up a newspaper and determines that the paper is not it. He keeps looking. Scientist, what about that fly? Max, SWAT! Scientist, crying. Yeah. That's a good recall, Lee. Billable Rick says the fly on Pence's head escaped from Pence's insect collection. Didn't you know that Pence is an amateur entomologist? No, really? Really? Well, maybe it wasn't an escape. Maybe that was his pet and he took him out walkabout. Or in that case, fly about. We know by now he knows, but back last night, do you think that Mike Pencil Neck Geek, the Lord of the Flies, do you think he knew the fly was on his head? If the plexiglass hadn't been there, do you think Kamala Harris would have reached over and... Be still, Mike. There's a fly on your head. Whack! That would have been worth paying to see. But it gets weirder and weirder. And something to go talk about later in the program. Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, I can't believe it's good news that the FBI stopped a kidnapping plot of a state governor. Where the hell do we live? Well, that's a damn good question. And by the way, Ralph's has a challenge. $25 to get things knocked down even further. Thank you very kindly, Ralph's. So if we can do that, it'll take us down to we'll get us under the $500 mark. It'd get us down to $495. Thank you, Ralph's. Thank you very kindly. But then this about Mike Pence, which is kind of weird. And it sort of cries out for us to engage in some rank and undeniably pure speculation. But last night, remember. And Agnes took her phone and held it up close to the telescreen and took a picture. And there he was, red-eyed. And, of course, COVID eye is the thing, you know, red-rimmed and red and looked like he'd been on a three-day drunk. And we know that's not true because, well, Mike Pence is a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, Christian. And... lips that touch liquor will never touch his. His lips? No, his liquor. So then we have the news, and Darlene sent this along, he was going to go to Talibandianapolis today for early voting. You know, the early voting that's unreliable unless it's a Republican doing it to vote for Donald J. Trump. J stands for... fly. Mm-hmm. Now, if it was a Scottish fly, it would be a MacFly. Oh, Donnie, said Marianne. Oh, Donnie, you be careful of those flies. Those flies, those blue bottle flies. Oh, they're just disease-ridden. Don't be getting near the blue bottle flies, Dunny. And while you're at it, make sure you don't take up with any of those Transylvanian porn hookers. I think we're going to be talking about the porn hookers for a while, but no. Mike Pencilneck Geek was going to get aboard an aircraft funded and fueled by we, the people of the United States, and fly off to Talibandianapolis, because there was a segment about climate change last night, And apparently, the only thing they care about, that maggots care about with regard to climate change, is whether or not the water and the air are clean, which actually has nothing to do with climate change. The massive storm, hurricane Delta, bearing down on the Louisiana coast right now, in which Governor John Bel Edwards of Louisiana Stan has declared a state of emergency already, that's a function of climate change. But Mike Pence was there to say, these climate change alarmists want you to think that hurricanes and wildfires have something to do with climate change. They don't. And we've got a great record. This administration has a great record on climate because we've got the cleanest water and the cleanest air in the whole gosh darned universe or something. Which has nothing to do with climate change. But he was going to contribute to some climate change. He was going to get on a plane, Air Force Two, I guess, technically speaking, and zoom off from Washington, D.C. to Taliban Indianapolis to cast his vote for Donald J. Trump. The J, by the way, Steve reminds us, stands for Johnston's organ. No, really. Johnston's organ. A sensory organ used to detect sound near the base of the antenna of a fly. Yep. But he was going to go and vote for himself and Donald J. Trump, and then at the last minute, they canceled the flight to Taliban Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Olivia Nuzzi reported it on Twitter. New, Mike Pence has suddenly postponed a scheduled trip to Indiana tomorrow. Vice President Pence and Second Lady Karen Pence had been scheduled to travel to Taliban Indianapolis to cast their ballots by early voting. The trip had been on the books for at least 9 days. The White House provided no explanation for Pence's sudden change of plans. Ms. Nuzzi says, I was scheduled to travel with Pence tomorrow as the print pooler. Ahead of his JBA departure, press traveling with him were scheduled for COVID tests at 7 a.m. As of 35 minutes ago, the VP's office was still communicating with reporters about logistics for the morning. On the other hand, vice presidential spokes creep Devin O'Malley told the press pool, nobody's sick. No, really. Nobody's sick. There's no positive tests. the vice president is planning on traveling on Saturday and Monday. We'll have more information on the vice president's schedule next week, soon. And Olivia Nuzzi pointing out, nobody's sick is an interesting choice of words for the White House this week. And then, then the entire trip was just, you know, canceled. Just nobody's sick. Right. And yes, by the way, there is a link up at headon.live because Sparky and I were talking, and I thought a debrief this evening from yesterday's debate performance might be in line. So if you'd like to gather around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, please feel free to do so and use the link there at headonradionetwork.com, and that'll get the conversation going. And we'll crank that up here in fairly short order. Everyone's welcome. And by the way, when we do these front porch conversations, let me just reiterate that it's a great time for people who are new to the conversation to jump into said front porch conversation. I enjoy, and I know the community enjoys hearing from more and broader and more diverse segment of the community. So you're welcome to jump right in and be part of the conversation. It's real easy. Just click on the link at headon.live. It'll carry you right into Skype if you know how to use Skype. And really, know how to use Skype is kind of a misnomer, because Skype is really easy to use. Feel free. But if you absolutely cannot use Skype, you're welcome to use the stress line, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. That's toll-free from, I think, anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, maybe. Is Mexico in there too, Brother Deacon Asa? I don't know. Speaking of Brother Deacon Asa, Brother Deacon Asa pointed out flies. Did Mike Pencil Dick leave his fly open last night? That was just malarkey. Malarkey, you know, from the Biden-Eddie Munster debate from 2012. Well, if he did leave his fly open, how would you know? No, with Mike Pence, the uber Christian, when he gets his buzz on, it's not with any kind of spirits or liquors or demons. After all, he's pretty fly for a white guy. I have a feeling this is going to go on all night. Well, how about that? This early in the program, and I managed to ruin a meal in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. Chris, our buddy Chris in Portland. Bob, I was about to make a Caesar salad topped with anchovies. To hell with that idea now. That notion having been shelved when I mentioned the idea of Mike tossing Mother Pence's salad. Because unfortunately, far too many people know what tossing salad means, and I include myself in that. Great way to get the pink eye is what it boils down to. In the great Northwest, Jude points out the fly, Exodus 8:21. But if thou wilt not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies upon you and your officials and your people and your houses. The houses of the Egyptians and even the ground where they stand will be full of flies. Yes, it's a pharaonic curse. Mm-hmm. As to Mike Pencilneck Geek canceling his flight to Talibandianapolis, Lee in New York pointing out it is either Pence having COVID-19 or they forgot to get accommodations for the fly. Yeah, you can't just... flies don't fly free. Deadbeat flies. Oh, we're going to just have a million of them, aren't we? Yeah, I fear so. Wow. So Ralph's challenge got met and was met by Yuki. Thank you so very kindly, Yuki. The fundraising goal just dropped in a big way, and that's hugely helpful. The fundraising goal just fell to 290. 290 gets us caught up with the week here on this Thorn in the Porch Thursday. Yes, Steve's right in New York. On the porch this evening, make sure to turn on the bug zapper. Bzz. Well, Agnes has a lot of fun with... We were going through Rural King one day, and she saw it, and she said, oh, I must have that. And anytime Agnes asks for next to nothing, very little, and when she says, I must have that, I must purchase it. It's a little fly tennis racket. It's got a button on it. It runs on batteries. And it's a bug zapper that you can just swing through the air, and when you hit them, they go, and you can knock out several in one. It can get a little smelly, but damn, it's fun. Yeah. So that bug Agnes will be on the porch with the zapper racket, I guess. Um Oh, and then speaking of flies, there's always this clip, you know, if it'll fucking load. Well, it doesn't seem to want to load at the moment. But Mike in Cascadia says, last night's fly fared better than the fly in the scene from Weird Science. Also, under his helmet hair and stoic personality, Pence is a monster, just as disgusting as the pustule of Chet in the Weird Science clip that won't freaking load because the internet's giving me fits. Or maybe it will in a moment. I really don't know. Let's find out.
Chet.
Hi, dudes. I'm sorry, Wyatt. I'm sorry for being such a shit to you all these years. And, gee, well, I want you to know that I love you.
That's nasty, Wyatt.
That's Chet, Gary.
Oh, my God.
Yep, ate a fly. Yeah. It just, we're going to have so much fun with flies. It's been going on since last night. The whole nation just went wild over the fly because it seemed so reminiscent of 2016 when, you know, a decent human being, Bernie Sanders, went to speak and a cute little bird, I think it was a finch, landed, a little wild songbird landed on his podium. And he smiled real big, and the bird became a meme, and that's a bird. But when you're dealing with anything Donald Trump, you know, rotten and festering and foul and fetid and putrid, well, you get flies. Naturally. Yeah, I think that's the case. Just as was the case with Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Mike Pencil Neck Geek showed up to the debate with the Rona, hoping to spread it to Kamala Harris. They are a disgusting lot, aren't they? Then, of course, David in South Carolina, Stan, reminds us, Superfly. Yeah, I don't think there's any way Mike Pence could ever be that cool. No. Pink Eye, what the fuck, says Suman. I just looked up Tosher Salad. What the fuck, Bob? You should have known better than to look it up if you didn't already know, Suman. I mean, I have to be able to make some assumptions about people in this with this conversation. There are two boxes of spinach and other greens in the fridge, which I don't think I can look at anymore. If there was ever a need for a delete button inside my mind, it's now. Thanks, Bob! Oh, gosh, Suman, I'm sorry. That's two in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. Tossing the salad. Brother Deacon Asa says, does Pence's version of tossing mother's salad end in an Indiana steamer? Oh, you're just making things worse. At least maybe Indiana steamer won't show up in the Urban Dictionary for Suman. Suman, don't look it up. And for Christ's sakes, don't think, I wonder what Indiana could be standing in for and look up Cleveland steamer. Okay, don't do that. And Megan, by the way, pointing out, you know, if that fly laid eggs in Pence's hair, he's required to carry all the eggs to term. because black flies matter. Yep, going to hell for that one, too. Kind of a warm, lots of flies there, too, I guess. And Steve in New York, trying to be helpful with a fellow member of the community, says, Suman, definitely do not look up the word Santorum. No, no, really, don't look up the word Santorum. It does not refer to a former senator from Pennsylvania. That word was, no. Ew. Yeah, I hope not, too. Randy in PA says, hopefully it's not a nationwide cyber attack. But something weird happened over the weekend on two successive days with two different institutions. PIN numbers stopped working or were said to be wrong. I called about the one day, and they said, oh, it was a glitch in the system. It tormented us all day. There's no. Because the next day, the PIN didn't work on an entirely different card. Say it. Lee in New York pointing out, if Kamala Harris got sick from Pence, what's the religious penalty that Mother would demand from Mike if he got close enough to Kamala Harris to infect her? Well, there's no penalty as long as he was not alone in them. So since there were people in that auditorium in Utah, then technically it did not run afoul of Mother Karen, the art teacher who teaches art to little children that go to a private religion school that says that gay people are the friends of the devil. And I don't mean the kind of friends of the devil who lit out from Reno trailed by 20 hounds and didn't get to sleep at night until the morning came around. No. So much stuff to get to, and you guys just load me up in the first hour of the program. It's inspiring to see how anxious for the conversation the community is when the program rolls around. oh, I knew there had to be a Renfield reference in here somewhere.
Yes, Master.
Mike Pence's lunch. Bob, that fly was Mike Renfield Pence's lunch. Most people don't know this, but Malignancy is his jailer. He's only let out at certain time periods, and he must only eat flies because Mother said so. Your buddy Dave in the blind.
Those most of the delicious flies. I love the flies.
Then there were memes involving Mr. Miyagi with the chopsticks from The Karate Kid. Well, I stole it, but okay, thank you. Lee in New York awarded me a cowbell for Black Flies Matter. I got a boo from Darlene. You didn't give Megan a cowbell for suggesting that he has to, if any fly, if the fly laid any eggs in his hair, he has to bring them to term. For what she just wrote in? You didn't give Megan a cowbell? Boo to you, Bob. What she wrote was super fly. Okay, that's a double cowbell. That's a cowbell for Darlene and for Megan at the same time. It all just gets so complicated. Okie doke. Silent R. Lamar on Pence voting. He wants to vote for Donald J. Trump, former billionaire who lost his mansion and his yacht and who's on his way to the jailhouse. I may be a squooey wabbit, but I ain't going to Alcatraz. Well, he's not as sharp as Elmer J. Fudd, Donald J. Trump. Yeah, we have so many musical opportunities. Occasioned by that that appearance last night. you'd be surprised how many songs involve that word. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Billable Rick just reminded me of one of them.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand.
You know, thanks for ruining that, Billable. I love that song. This idea that that simply having a woman reach out and hold one's hand, in the parlance of Frank Sinatra, you know, maybe it was Ava Gardner, that would be sufficient to be like unto flying to the moon. It's a sweet and charming sentiment, but no more. Now, anytime I hear that, I'm going to think of. Well, I'm going to think of Mike Pence and Floyd the Fly perched upon his head.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Yeah, I don't think Salt Lake City qualifies as exotic, but apparently they got more flies than old Bombay, or what was, well, never mind. Hey, but Billable Rick says, subject line, fly me to the moon. Why is it the weird stuff always seems to happen to GOP candidates at presidential debates? First, we have the booger-eating Ted Cruz at a 2016 GOP debate, LARPing one up, right from under his nostril. Now we have Pence with the fly. I think that the fly may have sealed the deal for Biden. Earlier today, CNN projected that Biden will get at least 290 EVs, electoral votes, well more than the necessary 270. Hopefully, on election night, the election will be declared for Biden so that Bill Barr to justice can't use legal legerdemain to help Trump overstay his time in office. Oh, he ain't overstaying it. If one way or the other, if he's not the winner, he don't get to be president at noon on January the 20th, 2021. At Billable Rick saying, glad to oblige, Bob. Nothing like killing your buzz. And a reminder from Steve in New York, baby flies are, of course, and this is not was not lost on me earlier, baby flies are called, come on, maggots. Now, granted, we spell it M-A-G-A-T-S, but it's the same sort of thing. Dan, with a note, fly, walks into a debate and asks, is this stool taken? Ah, wait a minute. The idea, right, because Mike Pence is just one big stool. And we don't mean in the three-legged variety.
Oh, yeah.
Just checking to see whatever else might. Well, there's this too.
Buzzer took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off of his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in that.
Oh, that's particularly effective. Yeah, oh, very much so. Because, there's a reference to a buzzard, which lives off of putrid things. And there's a reference to not blowing one's stack, which is a reference to someone's head. Oh, Nat King Cole. But even more. This might be more to Mike and Mother's liking.
Some bright morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
Yeah. Fly away. Right. Some Salt Lake evening, I will fly away. Right. Then there's the obscure stuff. And I'm sure he's not listening, but our pal Tim from L.A. would certainly appreciate this. Change my life. Well, that fly may turn out to have changed his life, like pencil neck geeks. Oh, yes. There's just so many opportunities. So many.
Coming out of the sky, but a one long horn and one big eye. Like a Mr. Shaking in the city. It looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
That's about as much of that as I can stand. Mm-hmm. And it just, it goes on and on and on. It's just that kind of night, really. You know what the fly obsession shows, Stephen New York says? We as a country are looking for anything to provide the least bit of levity right now. We need a laugh. And we will take all we can freaking get. And that was a grand one. And it's sort of distracted from the fact that he probably has the Rona. Nobody's sick! No. Vice presidential spokes creep, you just keep doing you. Oh, and let's check in with Tracy real quick. We haven't heard from her in a while. Is that you, Tracy?
It is Ty.
Yes.
No, how are you doing?
How are you?
Well, I just had a wonderful visit. My mom surprised me came to visit me last week. So that was amazing. And she just left this morning. She started off, first she visited my brother in Atlanta. We drove up to Atlanta to visit my brother and to see my great-nephew, so her great-grandbaby for the first time. And then she flew out here to me in L.A. last week. She got here last Thursday. She left this morning for Portland to go visit my sister and my niece who was getting married. My mom's officiating.
Wow, that's wonderful. So you had some mom time.
Mm-hmm. I have mom time, and I had it to myself, basically. I had to share with those other people, especially my brothers and my siblings. So, yeah, no, it was what the doctor ordered. I've been, you know, just really down and stuff, and, you know, having my mom here really just lifted my spirit. Of course, I already miss her. So, you know, moms are very important.
Oh, indeed, but, indeed. Hey, Tracy, can I ask a favor of you?
Sure.
Since the debate was last night, we were going to do a front porch, and I thought that I could have...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought I could have Sparky connect, and I could just fold you into it, but it won't let me.
Okay.
So could you use the button over there on HeadOn.live and just jump in to...
Let me see, is it on HeadOn.live?
Yeah, there's a button for joining the Skype group at HeadOn.live. It's not in the usual place up at the top. That's the vote for Bob for West Virginia's best media personality.
Yeah.
It's down a little bit lower.
Okay. I see. Post-debate Skype group.
Yes.
Skype chat group. I'll try, because the last time I tried to Skype on my phone, I couldn't get through. So what might have to happen if I don't get through, I will have maybe once I can call me on Skype so I can connect.
Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, I'll try to connect to you.
Okay, so let me I'll hang up. And
yeah, so just, yeah, just it. Email. If you can't get through, email and tell me, and I'll connect to you.
All right. Bye.
Later. Oh, it'll be good to hear from Tracy. So, Sparky, go ahead and connect. And we'll get the front porch going. I had a note from Jude in the Great Northwest saying, someone wrote in last week asking about Lady B. I, too, have wondered about her. She has an innate ability, Jude says, to convey thoughts, especially that allow one to journey to rare places through the written word. And even with not hearing from Tracy, you've voiced being in contact via email. That's true. And, I'll send another email. I get fretful, and we worry about folks when we don't hear from members of the community for a while. You know, sometimes people just get pissed off and go away. I hope that's not the case with Lady B. And a lovely photo coming from Jude. Thank you, Jude. Thank you very kindly. Billable Rick with a question of salad tossing. I never should have done that. Do you think that Pence tossed Trump's salad after the VP debate? As the Urban Dictionary says, salad tossing is often considered a sign of respect, affection, and even love, because, as should be obvious, you don't stick your tongue up just anybody's fundament. Based on that definition, I'd say that Pence regularly sticks his lingua up Trump's posterior. Yeah, dinner's done. Nobody's going to eat in the... shit, I think we may have fucked up meals in Hawaii, Kuala Lumpur, South Africa... across the pond, it's midnight snack time in Mary Oldie. We may have ruined that too. Sheesh, sorry about that. So, I'll try to do better, you know, or worse, as the case may be. Billable Rick says, fuck it, Bob, eating's overrated. Oh, I know. But, well, you know what? What do you want to, okay, maybe he doesn't have the Rona. Maybe Mike Pence is just hiding, hoping the news cycle will make the fly go away. Because if he'd flown to Talibandianapolis, hey, Mike, did you not know there was a fly on your head? You're a Christian, Mike. What does being beset by flies symbolize? Isn't that a symbol of demons and the devil? I mean, didn't your buddy Alex Jones say that once? Or maybe he got a call from, you know, COVID Caligula saying, Mike, you fucking asshole. I can't believe there was a fly on your head and you didn't even know it. At least when there's flies around me, I brush them away and talk about how I don't like them. You let it sit there like it was your fucking pet, Mike. Goddamn weirdo fucking evangelicals. I heard that word, evangelical. I like it. Those are some weird people. Because, you know, there's also the report that he constantly goons on Mike Pence's freakish faith, one of the few things that Nitwit Nero and I share in common. All right, so let's try this front porch thing again. And hopefully Tracy can join in. And... By the way, as we move into the into the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable conversation. We're at 265 to come up even with the week. What that means is we got $65 left from prayer meeting Wednesday yesterday, and tonight's $200. And the big thanks to everybody who's jumped in, and particularly thank you to Yuki, who took a big bite out of that. Thank you so much, Yuki. Hey, Sparky, no flies where you are, I trust.
No, you see that link I sent you?
Oh, yeah.
Can you play it? That's my fly swatter.
Let's see here. I don't know if I can play anything these days because of the screwed up way that the internet... Oh, okay. But I think, yep, it looks like it's going to load. Here we go. ...500 kilovolt switch opening. That was just exciting.
It is exciting if you get to see it live in person.
Yeah, at a nice distance, one presumes.
You have to be so far away from it when they close the switch.
That's what a retired journeyman master inside wire man does to kill flies. Is that what you're telling us, Sparky?
Yeah, I got my little tennis racket bug zapper right here.
They're just fun, aren't they?
Flies aren't too bad because the cows aren't right behind me. They're in the west pasture, so they're far enough away from me that the flies stay away. Can I tell you a story about my ballot just real quick?
Oh yeah, I saw where you posted. Let folks know.
Yeah, I mailed my ballot a week ago. And so last night I was thinking, I need to see see if they got my ballot. So I went on ballot track, and it gave me an email from my county office. So I sent them an email, got up this morning, I got an answer to the email, and I got ballot track went off on my phone.
Yeah, it's almost like in California they care about whether people vote or not.
Yeah, but anyway, I just thought it was funny. It took 6 days to go one block.
Jesus!
The only thing I can think of is the post office holds them until they get a whole bin of them, and then they take them over.
I guess the only thing I can think of
why it would be sitting in the post office so long.
Well, or, you know, Louis DeJoy. That could be part of it.
The county guy told me that they had got the ballot yesterday.
But wait, you didn't mail it through the postal service, did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
because I thought I put it in the mail. The mailman gets it and takes it to the post office. Post office, like I say, is one block away from the county building where the county clerk that holds elections is. So if it's only one block, I figured it'd get there in a day or two. Maybe even the next day. I mean, because they had it in the post office. But the only thing I can figure is, you know, one of them big white mail bin things with the handles on it?
Yeah.
Maybe they fill one of those up before they take them over there.
I got nothing better than that.
Yeah, because everybody on in the county got their ballot the same day. I mean, when they sent them, they all sent it out on the same day.
Which is kind of weird because last week I had to get some new lenses put in a pair of glasses. And, you know, accidents happen. And so I called my buddy, the optician. He's been a pal of mine for 30 years. I told him they were on the way, and I mailed him priority mail. And the postmistress told me that, I guess in the modern world, she'd be the postmaster. The postmaster told me, well, it'll take 4 to 7 days. You know, priority mail. You pay extra. And so, you know, pony. And it was there the next day. Of course, it was every bit of 92 miles, but more than that when you consider the postal routing. But I was frankly surprised. So
yeah, I would have been too. But that's just the ballad. It probably that's the only thing I can think of that happened.
Hey, Bob, I made it in.
Hey, good, Tracy. Good, good, good. And you sound a lot better, too.
Thank you. Hey, Sparky, how long did it take you? When did you? Because you know what? Alex and I got our ballots, but Jan hasn't gotten hers yet, which is, I find, very strange.
Well,
I know we live in different counties, but we still
have
to sit.
Did you sign up for ballot track?
Well, they actually sent her, they sent us, letters saying to confirm this is her address and everything so she could get her ballot, right? And we're all in this house vote by mail anyway. So I went on to her account on the registrar's office and it showed her as an inactive voter. And I'm like, what the entire fuck? So I changed it to active. And if I don't hear anything, I'm just going to call the county registrar's office about her ballot because I got mine. Alex and I got ours on the same day. She got her.
Well, everybody that voted in the last election, I'm sure got the ballot.
Right. Because
I've been voting for 10 years by mail, and I've never had to do another thing since I registered.
Exactly. Speaking of, voting, and here's my my voter suppression story for the day. So, like I said earlier, and that's what I was leading up to, my mom is doing all this visiting, and she'll be gone for 3 weeks. So she brought her absentee ballot from North Carolina so she could mail it, and asked me to help her with some stuff that I have to look up on Google for her county in North Carolina, in Fayetteville. And so are you ready for yet another way they're doing in North Carolina to suppress the vote?
They've come up with another one?
Yeah. So they gave her mail-in ballot, no big deal. And thank God we read it because there's all these things that you have to do. So apparently...
Out of curiosity, Tracy, did it come with a Chinese restaurant menu?
No.
Or a piece of wax paper and a ballpoint pen to sign with?
Well, it came with the glue that's hardly, that you could barely, I took a little sponge to wipe it, to wet the envelope. It didn't come with the strip, sticky one that you pull off the strip and just seal the envelope because that's pretty much how it is in California. Plus, you got to pay to mail in your absentee ballot. You have to affix your own postage in North Carolina, in the great state. Is it the state or commonwealth in the great state of North Carolina? And on top of that, guess what? There has to be a witness. A witness has to sign your ballot to prove that you are who you are. What if you live alone, Bob?
Well, then you're going to have to go out and find you a witness.
Right.
Or not vote, which would be their preference.
Right, and that's what they're trying to do. Because it's like if you're somewhere where you can't leave the house for whatever the reason or whatever the case may be, that just how many people do you think that's going to disenfranchise?
Maybe enough to keep the Republicans in power, to keep a Republican senator in place in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. When I saw that, I'm like, am I reading this right, correctly? So I signed it for her. I was her witness. And so well, Mom, I'm afraid that if I sign it, because not only do I have to sign, Bob, I have to put my address as well.
Yeah, so they can make sure that you're really you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? I don't, have you already done it?
What, my ballot?
Well, I mean, you have to witness your mom's and sign, right?
Right. I'm terrified that they'll disqualify her because I signed in California, but it's still
No, that's not what I was thinking.
What?
Well, you've talked about your felony.
Oh my God! But I'm not voting. So
no. But they might use that. They might use that to disqualify you as a witness.
Oh my God!
And I'm not saying that to freak you out, and certainly don't call North Carolina and smarten up the chumps.
No. It didn't say, but and I read it. It didn't say anything about, you know.
Well, having things say something doesn't matter in Southern voter suppression.
That's true too. I didn't even think about.
Because I was going to say if you hadn't already done it, get Alex or Jan to witness it.
Right. Too late. I signed it. Didn't even think about that.
That probably won't be a thing. By the way,
like they're going to have to check my signature and check, you know, and take the time to, you know, to call up to California to verify. If anything, they'll verify that I'm a real person. Yeah, I had to put my name and address and my signature and all that so she could vote absentee.
All I have to do is do a Google search.
Right.
Of your address. It shows that you live
we talk about nightmares, postal nightmares. Get this. I just got a note from Robert in Australia. Granted, Robert's in Australia, but this has nothing to do with Australia. Speaking of the United States Postal Service, Robert says, I ordered some replacement drive belts for my cassette deck that come from the USA. Now, it's a teeny tiny itsy bitsy little parcel about the size of a normal envelope. And the drive belts are actually just, they're little rubber bands. That little envelope with those little tiny rubber bands took 3 months to go from Walsenburg, Colorado to Chicago, Illinois. All of maybe 1,200 miles. July 2nd, 2020, 9:43 a.m., shipping label created, Walsenburg, Colorado. August 20th, 2020, 9:43 a.m., arrived at USPS Regional Facility, Chicago, Illinois. September 15th, 2020, 12:40 p.m., arrived at Regional Facility, Chicago, Illinois International Distribution Center. September 21st, 2020, 2:40 p.m., arrived, Chicago, United States. September 23rd, 2020, 8:01 a.m., departed Hong Kong. And there's the ultimate comedy in all of this. Robert in Australia says, I'm not really sure how it got from Chicago to Hong Kong in 2 days, but apparently it did. A week later, though, and still no sign of it arriving in Australia, signed Robert, in isolation in Oz. So, no further... You know, thanks, Louis DeJoy. You mastermind of logistics. Oh, and with regard to your ballot, Sparky, James in Illinois says, that's not how it works. It seems easy if you think about it being right next door, but mail often gets sorted at a distribution center. If someone were to pick out an envelope and say, this one's right next door, I'll be right back, shit would never get done. It's done with machines and scanning barcodes. If you track your mail and if you live someplace far from a distribution center, you may see it pass you by, then backtrack to your place. True. And those are some of the machines that were, of course, ripped out of distribution centers.
Yeah, but the ballot has a distinct envelope. When it comes to the back to the from the carrier that delivers my mail, takes it back to the post office, it should stay in that post office.
Not necessarily.
No, not necessarily.
If I mail, for instance, if I mail an envelope here where I am, and I go to my little post office, and I mail an envelope to my next door neighbor, it'll go to Charleston first, and then come back, because it's all about the sorting and the distribution, like James says.
Yeah, it'll, like when I mail stuff at my local post office, and then it'll go to the main post office in the valley. And then from there, it'll go to the distribution center in Santa Clarita and then go out.
which makes the one-day trip for my eyeglasses from here to 90 miles away all the more miraculous.
That's amazing.
Billable Rick says, as part of Trump's plan to rat-fuck the 2020 election, has Louis DeJoy decided to reinstitute the Pony Express, asking for a friend? No, because nobody could afford that. That was $500 a letter in modern dollars back when the Pony Express was a going concern, or not really going that well. So, yeah. Hey, there's a story that both Ralphs and Darlene have sent along that I found absolutely fascinating. Get this. You know, we've probably spent more time discussing the 25th Amendment on this program than on every other liberal or progressive radio program, podcast, whatever, combined. Well, tomorrow in the House of Representatives, well, let me backtrack. You remember that magic phrase in Section 4 of the 25th Amendment that we have noted on so many occasions that we badly need and that somebody should have addressed well before now? Or such other body as Congress may provide by law? Well, tomorrow, Nancy Pelosi is introducing a piece of legislation called the Commission on Presidential Capacity.
Oh, shit.
It would create a commission, quote, to help ensure effective and uninterrupted leadership in the highest office in the executive branch of government. She, Speaker Pelosi, and Jamie Raskin of Maryland are holding a news conference tomorrow morning at the Capitol. And Raskin has actually introduced a previous measure in a prior Congress. So, look at us. Out in front of the curve, again, some more.
I still think these people listen to your show, Bob, and just steal your ideas.
Well, it's not stealing. You know, we give the program away for free. We give everything away, so...
Well, they at least should then motherfuckers need to be contributing then.
Well, that's at I couldn't agree more. And you know, right now, like I said, we're at 265, something like that. Yeah, 265.
Oh, and how long has it been since you've heard me say MF? My God, I've been.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God. So, Mr. Mike Pence, I just so last. I was watching because it was hard because I was watching the debate and then some of my relatives came over to tell, you know, they hadn't seen my mom to, you know, say goodbye and, you know, love up on her and stuff. Because I haven't seen her in a year. Last time she was here was in November of last year. So I'm watching the debate and I had it on MSNBC for the commentary. I didn't get to hear his response to when asked about if the president gets sick, what measures have been taken. And that's when I didn't get to hear. What was his response or his non-response, rather?
Say that again, please.
Well, you know how they were talking about, you know, have you had this discussion with the president about if he gets sick, you know, especially now that he has corona, and if he's unable to, you know, fulfill his presidential duties.
Discharge the duties of his office, yes.
Right. What was his response?
Well, I can tell you that with regard to this piece of legislation being introduced to Nancy Pelosi, he said,
Nancy Pelosi's the one who should be under observation.
Oh. Really?
Really?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Billable.
Yeah, I was going, hey, you know what he did? He didn't answer the question. He skated. He went. He moved to a different topic.
What he did all night.
And Kamala did the same thing when she was asked a similar question about.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood that. I was talking about Trump's response to Pelosi's introduction of the legislation.
No, I was talking about Pence's response last night
Have you discussed the succession issue with Trump in case something happens to you? Of course he hasn't. He didn't want to answer that. Just like, Kamala didn't want to answer that. That's sort of like the 800-pound elephant in the room, Bob. You know, how do you have a smooth transition to, a new president? And you don't. It depends on, there has to be discussion ahead of time between the president and the vice president. That's really the way to deal with it.
But see, he's a malignant narcissistic psychopath with the mentality of a toddler.
Right. I mean, Kamala could easily have that discussion with Joe. In fact,
I'd be surprised if they haven't already.
They probably have already.
They would have to. I mean, I think a lot of people who are claiming to be undecided, and I still don't understand those people. How are you undecided at this point?
You're saying maybe.
They're worried that, because of Joe's age, it's not unlikely that Kamala could become the next president of the United States if something happens to Joe. So now you got these people. It was okay for a black guy. Now we're talking about a black and Asian woman who could, become the first female president of the United States. And people are shitting themselves scared because, a woman in black and Asian. Oh, my God. What's
reparations. Oh, no.
Right. Really? Look, if we didn't get reparations with Obama, we ain't getting reparations, period. So it's.
And her name's Kamala.
Kamala?
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it that way. I am 125,000% comfortable with her being president after.
Yeah.
After she schooled Pence, she's like, "I'm talking."
Oh, that was great.
I'm not going to let somebody. I'm not going to stand here. What did she say? I'm not going to stand here and have somebody lecture me.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not going to have somebody lecture me about the justice system, et cetera.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and then went off on that long list of. Only one person on this stage, and I'm that person, has A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Right. She brought her receipts.
Yeah. Yeah, she did great. She did great. And I love her design.
She did better than Joe, that's for sure.
She has a great... Do you notice both Kamala and Joe smiled a lot during their debate performances, and neither Trump nor Pence smiled a single time?
Because they're pissed off perpetually.
Well, she smiled at that... She did the black woman smile that if I don't smile, I'm going to snatch a motherfucker. And so,
she gave him the stare, too.
She gave him side eye like I've given side eye. But that side eye, that was textbook. She could have given a TED talk on side eye, giving side eye the way she was giving him and remaining as composed as a person could possibly remain under those circumstances, because at least, because what pissed me off the most about the debate was the fact that you can see Mike Pence's disdain and disrespect for Kamala Harris on his face. He was he's a smug, arrogant bastard. And he just, it was like, so she had to take him to task. She had to say, look, I am so qualified for this situation that you don't, and you guys should be scared of me because I don't play. I mean, that's my take on it as a black woman, what I'm saying, because I know how it feels to be talked down and talked over. And it's that part when you just really want them to scream and say, I'm here in this room and I have a voice as well. And she let it be known that she was not going to kowtow to.
She was reclaiming her time.
Yeah. She's like, can I get my time back now?
Well, one of the looks that I saw her give was that look that when you start lying to your mother.
Yeah.
And she knows you're lying, and she just starts looking at you and let yourself dig a bigger grave before she opened her mouth.
Right.
That was what I got out of a lot of those looks that she did.
And the laugh. That's exactly.
And then your mom says, after you're done, your mom looks at you and goes, "You still want to go with that story?"
Yeah, you got it.
Last chance.
You still want to go with that? You know what, Tracy? He and the Death Yam, they not only hate women, they're terrified of women, and particularly Trump because of his nasty old Scottish mother who probably.
Oh, you know, now don't be trashing! Don't be trashing the illegal immigrant Marianne McLeod Trump. After all, she had the good sense to warn her little Dooney all about the dangers of Transylvanian porn hookers.
Oh,
I'm sorry. That's fucking hilarious.
Wow.
Porn hookers. Just can't say that enough.
When I hear you do that accent, when you talk about Transylvania, has anybody watched What We Do in the Shadows?
No.
Anybody?
Huh.
It's on FX, but you can it's now all the episodes are on Hulu now. But it's about these vampires who come to America. And they're so out of touch. They think they're really cool, and they're so completely out of touch with reality. And with the accents and, Transylvania, and it is worth a watch. There's just my favorite episode.
Really? Clueless Vampires?
Clueless Vampires. Clueless Vampires.
That's funny.
But it's hilarious. And if you watch it on Hulu, because on FX they don't have all the cussing, but on the Hulu they have the cussing. But one of the best episodes is when the vampires get in trouble and they have a tribunal. And the vampires in the tribunal are actually actors who have played vampires in movies. Like, and they're calling them by their first name. So, like, it's Danny Trejo, who was in From Dusk to Dawn, and Evan Rachel Wood, who was in True Blood. And Tilda Swinton was in one, and and then Wesley Snipes, and he's calling in on Skype, and his Skype is going in and out, you know. And they're calling him, you know, he's not even a real vampire. He can, you know. it's so funny. It's one of those things, like was it Steve that said we're so in need of a laugh right now than anything, but. I'm noticing that I have to take time just to watch stuff that's just silly and just, you know, that makes me smile. Even if it's just for a half an hour, it just takes my mind off the bullshit and off that, you know, at least there were some points came across in that debate last night, even though Pence, you know, overtalked her and went over his time. And at least that moderator kind of had, you know, some control over the situation, more so than
Yeah, but he wouldn't answer. He didn't answer one of her questions.
Not a one. Everything was about Obama, you know, the failed this. And
early on, you saw what the strategy was going to be when he said, what was it? Well, at least it wasn't plagiarism, and Joe Biden knows a little bit about that.
Right. And so does your first lady, who plagiarized. How many times has she plagiarized Michelle Obama?
Ding!
I'm surprised Kamala. I mean, but see, that's the thing. You know, if Kamala had probably wanted to say, well, at least, you know, Jill may, you know, whatever, but so does your first lady. You know, I mean, well, we don't do that. We don't go toe to toe with these fools. But Kamala, you know, she stayed calmer than Joe did. But Joe, I'm surprised actually that Joe stayed as calm as he did on that the other night during that debate.
Particularly when he started saying shit about his son Bo and Hunter.
Right.
Oh, Tracy, and that look on Joe doesn't look. I've never been a fan of Joe, but I will say this: that look on his face was like Come a little closer.
Come a little closer.
Come a little closer. And you'll see how old and frail I am.
I caught a post about Trump and Christie in a debate prep, and all the interruptions were planned and promoted because they were attempting to get Biden to stutter more than he normally would in interrupting and attacking Beau or Hunter were intended to cause him to fall back into a stuttering mode to make him look bad.
Right.
How many people saw the Saturday Night Live debate?
Oh, I missed that.
I didn't. I missed it.
Oh, Jim Carrey is just excellent.
Who did he play? Who did he play? He played Biden. He played Biden?
Yeah.
And did Alex Baldwin play Trump?
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow. I figured they would have reached out to Woody Harrelson again.
Yes.
For Biden.
Well, Woody was probably busy or something.
Works a lot, Woody does.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
You know who I would love to have seen do either one of them was Phil Hartman.
Yes.
I mean, he did the great Bill Clinton, but I just thought Phil Hartman was great.
Phil Hartman would have been amazing.
Mm-hmm. Troy McClure on The Simpsons.
He was so amazing. He was so talented.
Yeah.
I actually walked. On one of my walks a few weeks ago, I walked by his house where he was murdered.
Was it a suicide murder?
His wife murdered him and then killed herself.
Oh, he used to just I would very few make me laugh out loud. He was one of the ones that could just make you laugh out loud. Lionel Hutz. Troy McClure.
What was his character on News Radio?
I don't even remember that show.
Oh God, that was some of his best work. Yeah, you know, well that and Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer.
What? I am out of
Saturday Night Live. You never saw Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer?
No, well, I don't watch Saturday Night Live. Like
Steve,
you
you're a lawyer, man. Just go look up Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer.
Yeah, I'll bet you I've seen it.
Bill McNeil. Bill McNeil was the news anchor.
Okay.
The asshole news anchor on news radio.
Asshole news anchor.
Brother Deacon Ace was ready. It was at the, and I just something is definitely wrong with the fucking bandwidth here. I just went to download something to check any usage. On my bandwidth, and it said it would be done downloading in 10 hours.
Oh.
Now, bear in mind, this is supposed to be 300 down and 10 up.
No, I think not.
Did you see the article I posted in there from the CBC?
Posted where? No, I didn't.
That's troubling. Justin Trudeau has said that they are preparing, and the way he said it was for all outcomes in the U.S. election. And what troubled me about that is that we all know that technically there should only be one of two. But when they're saying all outcomes, they're expecting, or at least preparing for, my partner sent it to me, they're expecting violence. They're expecting shenanigans and unrest and upheaval.
Yeah, and yeah. Steve, Michigan's pretty close to Canada. I'd be concerned.
I mean, Jesus Christ, oh my God. Can you imagine if that same shit had happened to, if they had wanted to kill a Republican governor?
Yes, not Walker. Yeah, the Republicans' heads would have exploded.
Or how about illegitimate white supremacist adjacent Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis.
Or Kemp down there in
Georgia.
Or you mean if Antifa started carrying guns and marched on the steps of the Capitol with long guns a while back, yelling in cops' faces.
Hey, speaking of Antifa, black people, black power, do you guys notice the backstory behind where the Black Panther symbol came from?
No.
Oh, it's an awesome story. Bob, do you know this one?
No, I don't.
Stokely Carmichael, when he was doing his down south, doing his campaigning to try to get black people to register to vote, he was down there for a year. And so, and these people were voting under, threat of death. You know, I believe it was in Lawndes, Alabama, or Miss. I don't remember.
Lowndes County, Lowndes, Lowndes County, Alabama.
Yeah, Lowndes County, Alabama. So he was there for. So apparently, the symbol for the Democratic Party down there was a white rooster, and so. So he came up with, they actually had a Lowndes County Freedom Caucus or something with all the black people to try to run against the white incumbent. And so, but they wanted to come up with a name, some kind of symbol, so if people couldn't read or whatever, they knew who they were voting for at least. And so somebody came up with a white dove and all this, and it was pretty and stuff. They're like, no, that's not it. So they came up with the Black Panther. Because back down there, there were panthers in that part of the country. And so black people knew. And so, the white supremacist symbol was the white rooster. And the Black People's Party was the Black Panther. And so that's how you came up with the Black Panther as in the Black Panther movement. And that's, and the term Black Power was, and that didn't come up, that came up not long after. That came up in like June of, because it's all related to when I was born. So June of 1966. The first time anybody ever heard the term, because they were trying to come up with something that was the antithesis of the peaceful movement of the turn it of the cheek madness. Because Stokely Carmichael's fact was like, well, you guys, you're telling us to be peaceful, but I don't hear you telling, and nonviolent, but I don't hear you telling the white people to be peaceful and nonviolent. So what we have to do is to fight fire with fire, and that's where the whole Black Power movement came into as well. Okay, so that's my moment of Black history. And speaking of
Thank you for that. That's cool.
Yeah, I often wondered where they came up with the Black Panther, and that's where they came up with it, and it was Stokely Carmichael. So, and he was down there for a year getting black people registered to vote. It was amazing. I can't even imagine what kind of fear I can't imagine it because of what's happening now, 50 some odd years later. But to actually live down south, and especially most of these people, 80% of the county was black. But they lived, they were sharecroppers. And so, they were being threatened with eviction, with death, all sorts of stuff. But these people stood up and fought, But I just can't imagine, the fear of the night riders and stuff like that coming into, they were shooting people's houses and stuff like that. Not then.
Well, let me ask a question, Tracy.
Uh huh.
What is the difference between the night riders then and these militia? Assholes now.
Not a damn thing.
Because what was said earlier is very true, and I think we should delve into this story. The FBI claiming, I guess there must still be some non-MAGAT members of the FBI, that they uncovered and foiled a right-wing plot to actually kidnap the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer.
Are you kidding me?
And that
absolutely.
And that they were then going to overthrow the government of the state. And the FBI took it. The FBI took it so far as to find out that they were trying to recruit militia members to carry out the coup. They were babbling about murdering tyrants or taking a sitting governor. They decided they needed FBI agent's affidavit in support of his warrant. Said the group decided they needed to increase their numbers and encouraged each other to talk to their neighbors and spread their message. And at this point in time, six men have been charged. Adam Fox, Barry Croft, Ty Garbin, Caleb Franks, Daniel Harris, and Brandon Caserta. Now, if that was six black men, you would not be able to change it. This story would be covered on fucking Nickelodeon, ESPN, and the Basket Weaving Channel.
Exactly.
QVC would have been all over it, huh?
Bob? Yeah, right. Exactly, Chris.
They would have been selling T-shirts.
And you know what we would have been hearing? That's the Antifa. That's the BLM.
That's BLM. Yeah. BLM's coming to the suburbs to take your house away.
And by the way, Tracy, I'm going to disagree with you that it's the same thing. I think these fuckers now are worse because
the technology and the fact that they can share the information a lot quicker than they could back then.
Yeah, we're talking Twitter, Facebook, and all this shit.
Who was at the center of the stochastic terrorism that encouraged them? The President of the United States, back when he was tweeting, "Liberate Michigan, liberate Michigan."
I'm going to post a link on both the chat groups. 1967, Sacramento Bee, and it's the interesting story of when the Black Panthers invaded, quote, the state capital in Sacramento, where they actually walked into the legislative body. They ran them out, returned their guns to them. And that's why Ronald Reagan created gun control in California.
Amen.
It was a no-rule state until the Black Panthers exercised their rights. And all of a sudden, gun control became a Republican idea.
Mm-hmm. Why, Roger, that might almost tell us that there's such a thing as institutional racism.
No fucking shit. No.
Go figure. No. We all heard Pence clutch his pearls last night about, oh my Lanta, can you believe that Miss Kamala would say such a thing? Who does she think she is?
Oh my Lanta, you're killing me.
Yeah, oh my Lanta. A friend of mine used to say, oh my Lanta. By the way, Tracy, I've really missed hearing you, and it's so good to hear from you.
Yeah, I've been just doing the school thing, and every time I think about calling, I've been meaning to, but it's like I start homework or what have you.
And, you got shit to do.
I know, but I miss you guys, and I made a pointed effort to make sure I called today because I wanted, you know, I saw, I see, and I'm hurt that I didn't get to hear them say flaccid on MSNBC. I just
I didn't hear it either when Bob said it. I'm like, oh, that would have been great.
I caught that last night. Anyhow, Tracy, how's the 5 and 10 Ks coming?
Well, that's another thing. Fortunately, I haven't gained any weight, but I'm taking 15 units this semester, and three of my classes are very heavily writing intensive. So I'm not saying that I bit off more than I could chew,
but it's been very intense. And I really do need to get back in. I've signed up for a couple that are going to be virtual. Even if I just walk the 3.25 or whatever it is, 3.1 miles, I need to, because I was walking with someone, but she turned out to be a libertarian / maggot. So are we in the deck?
Bye now.
I couldn't do it. You know, I'm not.
Walk that way. Walk the other way, please.
You know, walk the other way, bitch. But, I mean, because the thing is, I'm not going to be the noble Negro. I've used this analogy lately. I'm not going to be Sidney Poitier in Lilies of the Field. I'm going to be Sidney Poitier in the heat of the night and slap the shit out of a white person. I just, you know, I've been talking to young people lately in my classes about voting. And, you know, I call them fetuses because, you know, they're so young in comparison to me. And there's a few of them that say, well, I don't think I'm going to vote, period. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I don't see, you know, they're bringing up what Biden, you know, the legislation that Biden, you know, did back in the past. And yes, he did some fucked up legislation. Yes, you know, he talked against busing. Yes, this, yes, that. But what I you know, especially like in my Black Studies classes, we talk about how people are in, you know, I don't like the word evolution. I like the word transform. And people have transformed, you know, and transitioned from one ideal to another. I mean, my views have changed over the years on certain things, especially like when it comes to, you know, white people and teaching Black Studies. I have one of my favorite professors in my Africana studies, in the Africana studies department, is a white woman. And she has a PhD in Black Studies, which, you know, it took my first day of class. I'm like, are you a kid? Because I asked her straight up. I'm like, what makes you able to teach Black Studies? What in your, you know, are you a white doing a white savior complex? What is your purpose and design to be in teaching this, you know, information to somebody like me? And her response was that she is all about the Black Studies is about the liberation and the enlightenment and the uplifting of Black people. And as where is like Black psychology and stuff like that. And she's like, and I've learned from the elders. I was blessed by the elders. And she's talking about, you know, people that are in, you know, high up in the hierarchy as far as Black Studies and Black psychology is concerned, that she was basically given permission by these people to teach. And she's an amazing teacher. I mean, you know, and her, you know, her, because the thing is, we are all African people. Africa is where we all came from. And so when you think about, there's the European worldview and the African worldview, and how what happened to the Africans that left, you know, the cradle and went up north and became white people, and how the difference is how, you know, xenophobic, you know, they have very little resources. They, you know, were nomadic. They didn't stay in one place and, you know, and didn't embrace anybody, you know, was kill or be killed, you know, very individuals, they, you know, that lone wolf bullshit. Whereas the Africans that stayed in the southern cradle community, you know.
Well, but hold on a minute, Tracy. There's a good bit more nuance to it than that.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot more nuance. I'm just
one, I mean, you know, one. White folks don't come. The history of Homo sapiens is a roughly 100,000-year-old history.
Exactly.
The history of white folks on planet Earth is about a 7,000-year-old history.
Exactly.
When you add into that the difference between hunting and gathering versus sedentary society, agricultural society, you get another layer of meaning and complication. Curiously, the rise of agriculture in what's known as the Fertile Crescent in the Middle East, what we call the Middle East, the Near East, coincides with the evolution in Europe of white-ish folks. Wouldn't that be a funny TV series?
So whitish.
And you know, the violence is largely a function, we think, of sedentary agricultural society. I mean, all societies engage in some violence. Some of it is ritual. Some of it is mating based. I mean, anybody who's ever seen a pair of mooses or elks or male deer or lions, you know, males fight. But what some anthropologists have found out over the years is that the fighting you see in hunter-gatherer societies is largely ritualized and nobody gets killed, or seldom does anybody get killed. It's only once people start fighting over land that people start getting killed.
Exactly.
And so it gets snickered at by people who don't have the brain power to fully comprehend the argument. But humanity's better days may be behind us, and they're about 7,000 years behind us. Because when we made the choice to move to sedentary agriculture and build cities and settle down, and that's when we fucked ourselves as a species. That may be what turns out to be the case.
Mm-hmm. When, you know, and that was therein lies the difference between a European worldview and an African worldview. Because in an African worldview, everything, you know, the world is for everybody. It's, you know, we're stewards of this. You know, nobody's supposed to really own anything. It's a community.
That's largely an indigenous worldview,
right?
Because that's certainly the worldview of practically every indigenous culture of the pre-Columbian Americas.
Exactly.
Own land? What the fuck are you talking about? Own land?
We also need to consider a little bit with the settlement of Corral in Peru, which is the oldest known city in the Western Hemisphere. They have found absolutely no weapons whatsoever, but they also haven't found the cemetery of this old town in Peru. It's about 3 hours north of Lima, and a very dusty drive for 15 or 20 kilometers to get to it. But as I say, it was a city. I mean, it's good, well planned out, pretty well excavated, but they have found they found some hunting weapons and some evidence of using like a knife or something to scrape the meat off a bone, but they found absolutely nothing that could be considered a weapon.
Yeah. Tool making is different from weapon making.
Well, but a spear used to kill an animal could be used to kill a human. But
yeah,
they haven't
sure,
even
sure.
found that.
Yeah, sure. Ot-lots, things like, you know, the throwing sticks that throw the projectile, the projectile arrow-like thing. Sure, but they're much more useful in terms of hunting. For instance, when you get up into Mesoamerican culture, originally there were two classes of knights in the culture of the Valley of Mexico, which encompasses everything from the what are known as the Toltecot up through the Mexica and the Triple Alliance. And there were two classes of knights, Eagle Knights and Jaguar Knights. Well, eventually they had to add a third class of knights called Arrow Knights. And they were the Jaguar Knights and the Eagle Knights were the very best personal fighters. And they added the Arrow Knights to include some recognition of expertise at projectile weapons, namely bows and arrows. And there's a huge debate, you know, back across the pond there's a huge debate in ancient Greek literature about the honorability of using projectile weapons. That if it ain't hand-to-hand, it's not honorable. And yet, you know, as we've moved down through the ages, the you know, almost everything is a projectile weapon now in terms of the military, whether it's a gun or a cannon or, you know, a bomb from 40,000 feet up. But it is it is not the natural instinct of human beings to kill each other. They develop that when they begin to exercise concepts of dominance and possession, ownership. And the other thing that comes along is, for instance, in the earliest cities, there was a lot of goddess worship. And that gets supplanted, and it's in Genesis, for instance. There's reference to the time when the sky god, the masculine sky god, overtakes and supersedes the earth mother. And it's in the conversation about Abram and his wife, Sarah, because she was apparently a priestess of the earth mother. But wow, this thing's run far afield. I wanted to touch on a couple of other things. I had a note from Matt in San Francisco earlier today. I'll be listening for Steve Miller's Fly Like an Eagle to be played at Trump rallies. If that happens, we will know his inner circle has been infiltrated by the resistance. And I add, by extension, we will know that the resistance is listening to this program. Hello, hello, moles in the Trump organization. No credit necessary. I understand you're working deep undercover. But, you know, now that he says that, I'm not going to go to the next debate. I'm not going to. Why would I change the rules? I won so bigly last time. Joe Biden knew I won bigly. So he says he won't go to the debate now because the debate commission has said, well, you know, we're going to have it virtually because nobody's really sure whether or not he's clean. He might be a disease spreader, probably is. So, the audience is going to be in Florida, but the two candidates will be somewhere else and appearing virtually, and they can be muted. Well, I'm going to hold rallies instead. I'll just go and hold rallies instead. So if next week, when there should be a debate, he's holding some super spreader rally somewhere, just, you know, pay attention. And if early on, just like before they've played, you know, Knocking on Heaven's Door, Fortunate Son, you know, things that should never be played at a Trump rally.
Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die.
In the USA.
Born in the USA. Well, that's only because they don't understand the lyrics. But if they play Fly Like an Eagle, you'll know they're listening to this program and that they got the secret message. They were able to decode it with the secret decoder hidden in the stock. Yeah. So we're right at the end of the second hour of the program. We got $265 to go to come even with this evening. $65 to finish last night, $200 for this evening, and then that would just leave us with tomorrow's $200. It would be really helpful if we could knock out last night at least, and then we'd only be looking at $400 for tomorrow. But whatever we can do in the next hour to get things knocked down would be excellent. Just had a call roll through on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing? Happy Thursday to you, Bob. This is New Jersey Syndicated, Georgia.
Well, hey, Reggie, welcome to the front porch. Say hi to everybody. Everybody say hi to Reggie.
Hey, Reggie. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Reggie.
How y'all guys? How you guys doing? How y'all guys doing? Hey, how you guys doing that Thursday? How you doing, Reggie. Guys? Hi. So what do you guys thought about that or think about this, that 90-minute debate last night? You know, the fly debate.
Well, I mean, we've kind of spent the last 2 hours on it. I mean, what's your take, Reggie?
I think he won. He tried to piss her off, but it didn't work. Unlike last week, no offense, Bob. Joe should have done a much better job at his temper, or with his temper. Maybe he'll learn better next time. But he controlled her temper far way much better than Joe Biden was able to control him. And what do you think about the female moderator? Was he better than Chris Wallace or the same? You know,
Newsom. Susan Page let it get out of hand a little bit, but not nearly to the extent that Chris Wallace just was an epic fail. I'd say on balance, she was a little bit better, but she was certainly not great.
Why you say that, Bob?
Because she still let Mike Pence, she still let Mike Pence walk all over her, Reggie.
But he gave them the white male privilege, their average, everyday, stereotypical white old white male privilege. You know, and she couldn't control it even better. I just hope that the next time that I wish they get moderators that can actually control or moderate the debate without people attacking them for, you know, for how they're doing it. You know what I mean, Bob? I want the moderators to be tough. I mean, not too tough, but tough enough. You know.
I want them to have their own button.
That too. The mute button, you know, the cutoff button, you know, the delay button or the relay button, that, you know, the media will have one to cut the liar off or to cut people off who interrupt and out loud and over talk people who don't, and when they don't obey the rules of the debate. What do you think about
that? Reggie, what was your thoughts when they brought up, you know, the Supreme Court, and I call her the atrocious ACB. That's my nickname for the atrocious ACB.
Did he stumble and stutter when they brought it up to him? I guess he didn't have anything to say about that. Well, he couldn't find the
Word. No. That was the only time he became animated. That's the only time he got excited was at the idea of having an extra justice on there to make sure that that good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist homosexual Christians like him and mother could control the wombs of every reproductive woman in America.
Well, I hope that doesn't
get out those magic wands, right?
Oh God, I hope that never happens, man. I hope that never happened.
Kamala had to talk about the unqualified judges they appointed.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And what did he say about that response?
Oh, when she looked at him and said, "You want to talk about packing the court? Oh, Mikey, let's talk about packing the court."
Yeah.
And then burned him to the ground by saying, "Now, y'all have appointed a whole bunch of federal judges. There is not one single one of them is black. Wonder why."
I like what she brought up Lincoln.
Yeah, I love how she brought up Lincoln on his day. She's like, "You want to hear some lesson? Okay, here goes."
Hey, Darlene.
Hello, guys. Hey there, Tracy.
Sorry, you guys know that. Hi, Darlene. Of course, you guys know they try to go after her for being an angry black woman. How you doing, Darlene?
Yeah.
And you know the internet. You know the internet trying to go after her for being the average, everyday, stereotypical, angry black woman. And I'm sure Tracy knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly. She didn't give them angry black women. She gave them, she gave them educated. She gave them informed. She gave them qualified. She gave them somebody that's, you know, definitely grace on the fire. You know, she did. She checked all the boxes, you know, because she can't. It's just like Obama. He couldn't be the angry black man. Like Michelle Obama couldn't be the angry black woman. No matter how angry you get, you have to be able to, you know, assuage the white people's fear of, you know, of that black power. And, you know, just angry enough to say, OK, well, she's just, you know, being herself. But not so angry to scare away, you know, the white voters who are still, and I still don't get this shit, who are still undecided.
Ugh. Yeah. And you got that asshole Trump saying that she was, I don't know, nasty and disgusting. 105 Fox News TV radio with one as Bob would say. I don't know who he was talking to, but he said that he was nasty and disgusting.
Well, he called Kamala nasty? Oh, okay. Yeah. But isn't that his go-to, that nasty woman?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the default.
Yes. That's what he called her. And so do you think that, as I said to Bob last week, do you think that these moderators should have access to the mute button or should have let the producers do it? You know, access to it in case it gets out of hand again. You know, out of hand and out of control again. You know?
Well, the thing is about him with the mute button, he'll just keep talking and start shouting.
Yeah. Yeah. But what can they do, Tracy? How can they control it better next time? I mean, who wants to see that
Thor seem dark
all over again? Thor is dark.
A Thorazine dart. I mean, just have the moderator do a Thorazine dart in the blowgun.
No, realistically, though, what happens is you've got to have somebody with enough guts to do the damn job. Yeah. And you look at him.
That's why they need a black woman moderator.
And you look at him and say, "You just interrupted. You're not going to do it anymore. You get one warning,
right,
Mr. Biden?
Yeah.
You when you interrupt." You're going to get one warning. After that, we're muting your mic. Now, if you want to pout and stomp away, you go right ahead. But we're going to have a debate here, and we're going to have it on civil terms.
Right.
Trump can't live by any fucking rules. When he violates the rules, bang, mute him.
Right.
And then the moderator must immediately say, Donald Trump's microphone has been muted because Donald Trump cannot follow the rules. You treat him like a third grader.
Right.
Or a kindergartner. On the other hand, Megan says, the only moderator who can do the job is Samuel L. Jackson with a canned air horn and a 45.
Right. Or as he said in Pulp Fiction, I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
John Goodman up there. John Goodman just needs to be up there all the time at these debates.
You're out of your depth, Donnie. Donnie, you're out of your depth. Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Yeah, exactly. And you know
they're
going to attack the moderator for shutting his mic down and off. You know? They're going to try to go after him or her. Whoever the moderator is going to be, they're going to try to go after him or her for shutting down the oppression overlord and master Donald Trump's mic. And not doing the same to Joe. They're going to call that favoritism. No, it's just the rules. Right? If he can't follow the rules, he can't, shall we say, play anymore, right?
Yeah, and by the way, you only thought the fly business was disgusting. I got disgusting for you. I got some disgusting for everybody here.
What's the disgusting part, Bob? It's outside of the fly.
So the maggot campaign has created an ad called "Say What You Will About America."
What?
It's an ad called "Say What You Will About America," and they are riding the dead backs of Martin Luther King Jr., Jim Thorpe, and wait for it, Jackie Robinson. Saying that Donald Trump is the best friend a black man ever had. Now, Jim Thorpe was, of course, a Native American.
That part.
But Jackie Robinson's daughter is having no part of it.
Are these guys smoking on anything? Are they getting high right now, Bob?
No, they are. They don't care, and they are just they're stone cold racists. Who will try to use images and ideas that they think can't object. But Jackie Robinson's family is still very much alive. The Trump campaign is in opposition to all that Jackie Robinson stood for and believed in. We are insulted and demand that this image be removed. That was from Sharon Robinson.
Right. And did you like call Kamala Harris's evil eye stare look at Mike Pence? Said, don't even try it, son. Don't try to gold or bait me into fighting you. You know, don't even try the black angry black woman track. You know, he tried to get angry, but I'm sure she gave an evil eye stare. And I'm sure Tracy knows exactly what I'm talking about, too. Don't even try.
Oh, yeah. Like I said earlier, she could have given a TED talk on side eye.
Right. Yeah. She gave him a side eye. And she said, don't even try it, son. Don't even try it.
Oh, and by the way, the White Wing Militia plot in Michigan.
Yeah, what happened with it? Well, they got busted.
They got busted. But there was an armed standoff for hours on end
between them and the cops.
At least one of these assholes and. Freedom! I got gun freedom, Second Amendment, tyranny, man!
Did they take them out for McDonald's or Burger King?
No, Burger King. Get it right, darling. Burger King.
I like to see all these guys wearing straight jackets by two guys in white coats being dragged away as the song They're Coming to Take Me Away is playing in the background. What do you think, Bob?
To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I will be happy to see those nice young men in those clean white coats. Right.
Yeah. Why the song They Coming to Take Me Away playing in the background with them bound and gagged, thrown in the back of ambulances to be taken to the mental institute. That way they can't harm anybody.
Oh, and by the way, James in Illinois would like some input.
What?
And I was thinking, oddly enough, he sent this as I was thinking about it earlier. Oh, and thank you, Jeremy, jumping in for a second time. That's got us down to 260. Thank you, Jeremy. When we were talking about Kamala not being able to get angry, that reminded me of Obama's anger translator.
She needs an anger translator.
And James was thinking the same thing at the same time. He said, Kamala's anger translator, any nominations? The obvious one is Wanda Sykes, but let's think outside the box.
Right.
Well, who played her on the SNL skit?
Maya Rudolph, Minnie Riperton's daughter.
There we go. She'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Yes, she would. Because she's just black enough. She could be a good anger translator, you know, because she, they don't look that much alike because Kamala's is darker than Maya Rudolph. But they're both biracial.
Right.
But Wanda Sykes is a good call, too.
Wanda Sykes, because she's already angry. So that part. So it wouldn't, you know, so they could do the Key and Peele thing, have, you know, have Maya Rudolph be, you know, the calm Kamala Harris, and then have Wanda Sykes be, you know, anger management Kamala.
Yeah, anger translator.
Yeah, anger translator, right. Kamala.
And I like Tracy's idea of having future female black moderators for the next one. If that will ever happen, I hope it does, because the ones they got now.
There will not be another vice presidential debate. This was a one off.
No, this is a one. There was only one. There could only be one.
Well, that's true. But I'm talking about other future debates, like the presidential debate. Because, like you said, Chris Wallace was an epic fuck up, right, Bob? Last week? Yeah, Chris Wallace was an epic fuck up when it came to last week's debate. You know, but as I said before, Bob, when Donald Trump went after Joe Biden's family, no matter how civilized you can be, it'll piss you off, right? It'll piss you off. You can say anything about him, but when you go after his family, the kid gloves are off, right, Bob? Churches out there be a come to be with me, right? And I'm sure Tracy knows what I'm talking about too, Bob. Right, Bob?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, going back to the militia issue. Matt in San Francisco just wrote and said, did y'all see the mugshots of the guys in Michigan? So much for the superior race. They look like a casting call for Game of Thrones. That's a cowbell for Matt and casting call for Game of Thrones.
I hope are any of these people oathkeepers off?
Yeah, these are the these are just Michigan militia.
Yeah, because the old scare me. I just there's a documentary coming out. I think it's from either Vanity Fair or The Atlantic, and talking about the Oath Keepers and who they are and what they're about. You know, I mean, I know you've heard of them. Have you talked about them on the show?
Oath Keepers, yeah, from time to time.
Right. So they're, you know, because they're supposed to be, you know, rallying. Oh, God, why can't I speak this evening? The rally cry about what's going to happen if Trump doesn't get reelected and what they're going to do about it. And they have apparently they have followers in the police, in the FBI, in the Secret Service, you know, all across the country. And it's kind of scary. And of course,
it's going to be World War III in this country. It's going to be World War III in this country.
No,
Reggie. That would be Civil War, not World War III. We're only a country. We're not the world. Civil War.
And speaking of Michigan, I hope Governor Gretchen Whitmer has beefed up her security by now. I just, you know.
I'd say that's almost a 200% certainty.
I hope so. You know, we don't want her to get kidnapped or killed by these whack nuts, you know. You know, by these whack nuts who are following the orders of the Dark Overlord and Master, Donald J. Trump. You know, the only person that they listen to. Well, that Fox News TV Radio 1 and right wing radio, as you would put it, Bob. You know, stirring the pot.
Governor Whitmer already blamed this on President Trump.
What did she say about it? What exactly did she say about it? I didn't hear that.
I don't remember exactly what she said, but she had a news conference today and she blamed it on him. You can probably watch it online or YouTube.
She specifically said, Reggie, she specifically said that Trump is complicit in the plot.
Oh. I know you hated hearing that.
Because, see, that's one of the, last night they brought up the, what is it, stand down and stand by? No, stand back and stand by. Stand by specifically does not mean don't do anything. Stand by means wait until I give you the order and then do something.
Right.
And so when he did that, he did become complicit.
Right. You know, I'm afraid somebody's going to get killed. Well, I'm afraid a whole lot of people are going to get killed by these radical white-wing whack nuts. You know, these whack nuts. If something's not done about them, if they're not fully stopped, you know, by the cops or anybody else.
Well, after Governor Whitmer made her remarks, she said that, you know, stand back and stand by was not a rebuke, but a rallying cry and a call to action. When our leaders speak, their words matter. They carry weight. And this caused COVID-positive virus spreader Kali Maganini to comment. President Trump has continually condemned white supremacists and all forms of hate. No, he hasn't. Governor Whitmer is sowing division by making these outlandish allegations. America stands united against hate and in support of our federal law enforcement who stopped this plot.
No, they don't. Well, I mean, you should tell McAmini to go, I don't know, go work at a, you know, honey, you're not white, you're not right for this position. Go back to Fox News TV Radio 1, though. Go do something else. But she's not right.
Oh, but Reggie, position. She is white for that position.
Oh, she is, huh? Well, she's a liar then.
You missed what I said. That was comedy.
Go ahead.
That was comedy gold. She is white for that position.
Oh, right. Of course she is. Of course she is.
She's white. Oh, she's whiter than Snake Handling Sarah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
See, Kamala was so much cooler. Kamala was so much calmer and cooler than I would have been. Because I don't know if I could have resisted the urge at some point to look at Mike and say, "Why, Mike, that's mighty white of you."
Oh my God! I just hope you don't get kicked by the moderator. Oh, no.
That would have been awesome.
No, I would have. Let
Wouldn't
Tracy
it?
Do that.
Am I off base?
No. Because the fact is that, you know, and I say it to, you know, oh, geez, that's just mighty white of you to, you know, to even allow me to be on stage with you talking, Mike Kinselnicki.
Or when he started waxing poetic about Amy Tony's parrot, she should have turned to him and said, "Ah, Mike, how white you are."
Yeah. But I guess she didn't want to lose her temper, like you said. She didn't want to go off the issue. I guess you want to stick to the issue, but, you know, let them attack you.
Right. No, she didn't want to. Her job was to not create any negative moments for herself and to let Mike create all he wanted for himself. And, well, who knew the fly would be there? But then again, the thing that the fly overshadowed, if you will, is his his red-rimmed eyes.
Yes, he has COVID.
What? He was sitting there spewing virus even as he spoke.
Oh, right. I thought
maybe that's why they had to sit down. COVID. They wanted to sit down. They insisted that they sit down instead of stand.
Yeah, but as was pointed out the other night, Joe Biden and Eddie Munster, Paul Ryan, sat as well.
Yep. Right.
And I think Tim Kaine and Pence sat in 2016.
Mm. Right.
Man, that's got
to
be
tough. Why did they portray it as something that seemed to be an issue where Pence's campaign insisted on it? I mean, if you look at Pence when he stood up, he looked like he could stand to lose some weight, by the way.
That may have
some wide dude.
Relative heights of Kamala and Pence, that he might not be such a tall guy.
No. He's undeniably taller than she. She's only 5'4". She's a little bitty thing.
Okay.
I thought it was just from a lack of sleep. Well, Bob, I thought it was just from a lack of sleep, or you know, he's been up all night, or he's on something, or he's sick.
No, they wouldn't have let him stay. No, he wouldn't have been up all night. You know, unless maybe he and mother and back.
Ew! Don't stop! Stop!
Right. Ew!
Stop that. Yeah.
I know all there is to know about the crying game. Sorry.
Yeah. That's true. You know, he's been crying all night.
No, all you got to that's just one of those. You know, woo! Bracing.
Crying. But do you think they'll have another? Do you think that Joe Biden and President Trump will have another debate, or what? Or is that postponed for now?
It was supposed to be virtual, and Donnie doesn't want to do that.
My understanding is the Presidential Commission has agreed to hold it whether Donnie shows up or not.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It could end up being a Biden.
Biden's going to do a town hall on ABC now.
Well, the Presidential Commission yesterday or this morning said that if Trump doesn't show up, they're still going to hold it, and Biden would just get the whole 90 minutes for a town hall.
C-SPAN
was supposed to be the moderator of that debate. And the third debate is Kristen Welker from NBC News.
Right.
Oh, great. Well, at least he won't be interrupted this time, if that ever happens, right? You know, he won't be interrupted again. So, you know. I mean, it's hard to talk when you're being out loud talked by somebody else or interrupted by somebody else.
Well, the funniest part of it was is that he, Nitwit Nero, learned about it on when he was on the phone with Maria Bartiromo on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well, I won't do that. That's not fair. Why change the rules? And the best part of that then was that other, you know, his own supporters said, no, 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 he needs to go. He needs to go. But I haven't seen where that guy. He doesn't even listen to the people who care about him. By the way, James in Illinois says, Kaylee Maggot Nanny is not qualified for the job of press secretary. She should learn the line. You want fries with that? And Jeremy in Vermont says, fuck, damn it, Bob, stop. You're starting in on breakfast somewhere now. I know. And then, of course, Lee in New York. Stop it, Bob. Flaccid Pence was not up all night.
Ooh.
You see what Lee did there?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I think so. Huh. Oh,
it looks like George Conway is giving his blessing to the 25th Amendment Commission.
Yeah, he endorsed the idea, and good on him.
Yep.
Probably everybody in the Lincoln Project will endorse it.
Hey, and we haven't heard a word. Steve from Georgistan has been all too quiet of late. Steve, are you there, brother? Steve!
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's up, Bob?
Steve!
What's going on, man?
Blob! There's blob. A thing. You gotta do the thing. I say Steve, you say Blob. I mean, it's a bit, you know? People tune in for this stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know. We're wasting coin. Did anybody warn Reggie about the cluster fuck for the Senate special election?
Oh, no. You know, Reggie, let Steve help you out here.
Okay. Reggie, how you doing? I'm Steve. I live in Georgia, too, man. We're in the belly of the beast, brother. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Steve. So, what about this?
The special election, bro. We got 20 people vying for one seat. Okay, my pick is Reverend Warnock. That's who Stacey's behind. So he's the second from the bottom. Yeah. So just to make it easy for you, I don't know if you voted yet or not, but when you do, he's the second one from the bottom. If they're all structured the same,
right? Okay.
And I'm assuming that they are.
Okay.
But it's a Senate. It's the Senate race, Reggie. It's the Senate race. You've got two
special election.
It's a special election for Senate. You've got two Senate races in Georgia. When you when you go look at that ballot, if you don't want to vote for any of the weirdos, you got to go all the way to the bottom and then come back up one to Reverend Raphael Warnock.
Right. Well, I just hope that they live up to their promises once you vote them in. Once you vote them in, I just hope they live up to their promise and not give us the same old political talking points as the rest of them do. You know what I mean, Bob?
Well, but this is entirely a different situation. This is an opportunity to get Raphael Warnock into the – because, see, this isn't the end of it. There will be a runoff after this.
Right.
And so you got the two main Republicans, Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins – what's her name? Loeffler, Attila the Hun Loeffler. And I'm not calling her name. She says she's to the right of Attila the Hun. So those two are the hardcores, and they're fighting for the same pool of votes. If everybody will go to the bottom of the ballot, if all the normal people will go to the bottom of the ballot and vote for Raphael Warnock, then we've got an actual shot at putting a Democrat in a Senate seat in the state of Georgia, which is
possibly
huge.
Possibly two if Ossoff's going to take his seat. Wrap your head around that, too.
Right.
And Steve, what is the length of the term in the special election? Is that going to be a 6-year term? I mean, you can't have.
I would assume so, Bob. No, because you can't have two going in six. They would be. They'd have to be in rotation. So that's a good question.
I don't know if that's 2 years. It'd have to be 2 years or four.
Yep.
One would think.
I'll have to find out.
Give me a term of Johnny Isaacson was.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I can research that and let you know in 5 minutes.
Right.
But my God, to have two, the possibility of having two Democratic senators from Georgia?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder, I wonder how Steve liked the debate last night.
What'd you think, Steve?
Yeah, what do you think, Steve?
He may be researching.
It was everything that I thought it was going to be, Reggie. You know, everything I thought it was going to be. I thought Kamala carried herself with poise and grace, and she just handed him his ass. And I was texting back and forth with a buddy of mine. I said, is that a fucking fly on his head? And I just couldn't get over the fly thing. It was just so surreal, man.
He even bobbed his head a couple of times, and the fly didn't move. By the way, the fly.
And do you think Miss Karen in the audience was trying to hand signal him? There's a fly on your fucking head. I mean, can't you just imagine the production people in Pence's room, if there is such an animal, they were just probably tripping, man, flipping out.
Why is there a fly?
Somebody tell him, get the goddamn fly.
Who let Kamala through with a fly? Those goddamn Biden people, they must have brought the fly. By the way, Fly's name was Floyd.
He's got his own hashtag.
Right. And what does Steve think about the moderator?
He's got his own Twitter
account.
What
does he think about? Right. But what do you think about the moderator, Steve? Susan Tate.
I thought she did as good as she possibly could with the hand she was dealt. Did much better than Mike Wallace, you know. At least she had some kind of order.
Wallace. You mean Chris Wallace?
Yeah, better.
Yeah, Chris Wallace. Oh, right. I always make that Freudian slip, Reggie. Sorry about that, man.
Hey, Reggie, I'm gonna clear the stress line in case anybody else wants to get through on it. It's been good talking to you, my friend.
Nice meeting you, Reggie.
Talk to you too, Bob.
All right, you take care, vote early if you can, man.
Oh, okay. I'm a mail in my vote this year. What about y'all?
I've already voted. It's long since. I hand carried mine to the clerk's office.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to mail mine in.
Well, good deal, yeah, Reggie. You take care, my friend.
Y'all do too, man.
All right.
Bye and I now. Hope that Joe Biden gets into the White House. Him and Kamala Harris.
Here, here.
Let's do this, man.
All right. Let's later, man. This. Bye. Our buddy Reggie calling from Decatur in Georgia. There's a lot of Decaturs in this country, all named after Stephen Decatur. A little bit of breaking news. You remember Elliot Broidy? The guy who fathered a baby out of wedlock? Well, he's been charged in a lobbying campaign that was meant to get the Trump administration to drop a criminal investigation into a Malaysian investment fund that got ripped off. Mm-hmm. So, another criminal friend of Donald's. Son of a gun. Funny how that happens, isn't it? Let's see, we got somebody else on the stress line. Hey, welcome. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me now? On. Turn it off.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Heard you. Is that you, Kevin?
Yes.
Good to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah, I wanted to call in and see what you thought about that question about posed to both of them about what they would do if the Donald doesn't do a orderly transition of power. And I thought it was interesting that Kamala said nothing really about it. And I thought there was a great answer she gave, because we don't need to let them know what she's going to do about it. They don't need to know what the Biden plan is in case Donald doesn't.
No, and she's a lawyer. She knows her constitution, and the answer she gave was the right one, Kevin. We don't even have to worry about it if everybody votes and we just bury him.
Yep. It just, with this arrest today of those people up in Michigan, I'm even more concerned about what's going to happen in January, because you know, just like you all have mentioned, that Donald told them to stand back and stand by. And that was a dog whistle. And so if he is removed from power by the vote, you know, knowing his temperament, psyche, insaneness.
Well, I think if we absolutely overwhelm him, the likelihood of them going to the streets is decreased. But some of them probably will. But for the most part, they're chicken shits. Okay.
Yep.
And I don't know why I'm getting my voice back, but I am. But they're chicken shits.
Yep.
And they can't act unless they're in a group. They seldom act alone.
Yep, that's true. I'm just really concerned about it, because just knowing how the maggots are with things, you know, it for me, I'm planning to stop a little on provisions for that time period, just in case. And on the other hand,
well, it's always good to have, you know, 10 or 15 gallons of water laying around the house just in case, and some dry some dry beans, canned goods, things like that, just to get you through. Hell, just to get you through a power outage in the dead of winter.
Yep. Yep. So, and what was it, Chris? You called her the what? ACV?
Amy Coneberry? Atrocious ACB, yeah.
Okay.
You like that one?
Well, no. Well, I have a small objection to that, because I was the state vice president for an organization called the American Council of the Blind, or ACB.
So, oh, okay.
That was my objection to it, is you're not you, but those initials being tied to her. It's
very unfortunate.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess the other thing is, you're right. As a blind person, I listened to the debate, of course, and I didn't necessarily think Pence was placid, I think was the word I heard used today. But you're right. The only time he got excited was in that confirmation hearing. And that's on the other hand of all this. I do think there's a growing realization in the Republican Party that Trump's going to lose the election, and we got to get her confirmed before we're all out of power. And
how much importance do you think it is to make sure she gets confirmed during the lame duck versus before the election? I think it's critical. I think it's absolutely critical that, because then you hang that asterisk forevermore for however long she's going to live on the court. There's always going to be an asterisk on every decision she's ever makes.
Well, there's going to be a bunch of asterisks. Brett Kavanaugh gets an asterisk, and particularly Ann's boy Neil gets an asterisk, because he's sitting in Merrick Garland's seat.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
I really wish she would have brought that up last night, to point out the hypocrisy of them doing that to Mary Garland, and now they're turning around and doing the same thing they railed against when it was Obama's turn to pick a Supreme Court nominee, and I really wish she'd at least said something to bring that point out. I don't think it would have mattered to the Republicans, but I really wish she'd have said something to point that out.
I think Bob hit it pretty right on. I think that Kamala was treading quite carefully and didn't want to poke a hornet's nest, you know, or stir up a hornet's nest. I think that her job was to maintain status quo and to keep Joe's lead in the polls steadily climbing. And I think she did perfect. You know, I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong or and maybe, you know, but maybe an aggressive Kamala wasn't the time or place. You know what I mean?
No. I wouldn't have wanted her to be too aggressive, but she struck the right. She would not back down. Tracy mentioned the times that she looked at him and said, I'm speaking here. You know, I mean, it was good. It was good to see that from her. She wasn't taking any of his BS, but at the same
time, you know,
there's
been plenty of time for ball busting during the confirmation hearings of that crazy bitch. Okay.
Yep.
She's going to tear that crazy bitch a new asshole, and it's going to be wonderful to watch. And that's the time. That's the place. Right?
Well, I think so. Do you think, Bob, because she's a candidate, do you think she'll be at those hearings?
Oh, I think she'll do everything in her power to be there. Because it's a campaign opportunity. Every video of her being competent in that committee hearing is an argument in her favor. Because remember, 70% of the American people want Roe v. Wade and a woman's right to choose left the hell alone. 70%.
Yep. I thought it was laughable that Pence tried to make it sound like, well, they don't know how gay CB is going to vote on the Roe v. Wade. I thought that was pretty laughable. Are y'all there?
Yeah, we're here. I was just trying to give somebody else an opportunity to jump in.
Someone else was calling in on the stress line?
No. I was giving the rest of the group an opportunity to chime in instead of just... Oh, yeah.
Well, Isaacson's term, to circle back in case Reggie's listening, it expires in 2023, so that means that special election seat would be filled to 2024, if I'm reading that correctly.
Well,
yes, you are, Steve.
That means there would be an election in 2023.
The same article you posted.
Yep. That's it, man.
I was looking at other stuff on Democratic Underground.
Yeah.
I mean, the Supreme Court rejects GOP bid to stop Montana mail-in ballots. Appeals Court stops Wisconsin from accepting mail-in ballots after Election Day.
Wait, stop accepting mail-in ballots, Sparky, you said?
A federal appeals court on Thursday blocked an attempt to allow absentee ballots in Wisconsin to be received 6 days after Election Day, the latest twist in the legal fight over voting during the coronavirus pandemic. That's all. It's on a CNN story.
That's bad. People in the cheeseheads need to get on the stick right away.
And I guess... Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot came out, says Trump rhetoric to blame for her threats to Michigan governor and her. She gets calls and threats every time he mentions her or Chicago.
I'm sure.
Look, he is the greatest example of stochastic terrorism that this country has ever seen.
And then there's an article about the spawn of Trump are going out on rallies and stuff in a few days. Eric and Don Jr. and whoever.
Oh, and just to
better Carney crew.
Just to shift gears for a minute, a couple of things. Mitch McConnell has said he hasn't been to the White House since August the 19th. Since August. I haven't actually been to the White House since August the 6th, because my impression was their approach to how to handle this is the virus is different from mine and what I insisted that we do in the Senate, which is to wear a mask and practice social distancing.
He's covering his ass.
Well, yeah, he also knows he's ancient as fuck, and he don't want to die of it. Because, you know, for all we know, his status as a polio survivor might be a comorbidity that could complicate things. And just for a significant portion of the country, it looks like tomorrow Delta will hit Louisiana almost smack dab in the same place that the hurricane hit Lake Charles earlier. But then the thing makes a big old arc up through the middle of the country, runs right up the Mississippi River, and then veers northeast over most of Mississippi. Let's see, practically all of Louisiana, most of Mississippi, almost all of Tennessee. And then by 2 p.m. Sunday, it's been over most of Kentucky. And then aims for West Virginia, a little bit of Maryland, and looks like southeastern PA. So this thing could be a rain-soaking bastard. They're looking for landfall somewhere around 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Jesus. Well, at least we don't have to worry about climate change, you know, because Mike Pencilneck Geek told us about that last night.
Yeah, we're all just alarmists, Bob.
Right. Okay. And we're trying to kill our energy independence.
It's cooled off, and we might get some rain Saturday.
Good deal, Sparky.
It's only 79 degrees today.
Ooh. Wait, 39?
Frigid.
79.
Oh, I thought you said, okay. Sure.
Yep.
Oh, this is weird. The number of confirmed cases of coronavirus in my county is a number. Can you guess what it is?
Total?
Total. Give up?
Yeah.
It's 666.
Oh, Ronnie, Ronnie's smiling from below. That's
exactly
great.
From below.
And we had another death in the county today.
Shit.
We're up to 8.
Oh, hey, I need to send out thanks to Will in Chicago. We are now down to 235. 235. Thank you very kindly, Will. Note coming in from Matt in San Francisco. I am so eager to get to a place where we as a society can appreciate a woman and a woman of color to bring her full and authentic self to the public square to advocate for her ideas. We would be so much better off if we could listen and appreciate what those who have been traditionally marginalized bring to the table. I am so tired of waiting until it's acceptable for people to be themselves. And again, Matt's not trying to be funny, but not all cowbells are for funny. Sometimes cowbells are for profound. And that's what that cowbell is for. Thank you, Matt. Dadgummit, that is such a true statement. Such that, well, and said with clarity. Hi, Clarity. With clarity and brevity, the soul of wit, and depth. So tired of waiting till it's acceptable for people to be themselves. And that's not to say that Kamala Harris runs around being an angry black woman, but if somebody says something that's enough to get you angry, it's okay to be angry. But what she did last night, just as played against the petulance, the pissy petulance of Mike Pence, she was so far and above, so far and away, more profound and more professional than he can ever dream of being. Because let's remember, he's not competent to be in the job he's in. The last job he had, he did so poorly that the people of Talibandiana, as white wing a state as there is in this country, couldn't get rid of him fast enough. That's part of the reason he became vice president. That's why he got the nod. Because he was going to get his ass handed to him in his own election. I don't know. Was he term limited out? But he was despised.
No, he was going to lose. His approval ratings were in the high 20s, low 30s, I think. Yeah, he was well hated.
Well hated. Very good. Very good, Chris. Very good.
Hey, Bob, what's the balance now on
coming even?
Fundraising.
We got $40 to go to finish with last night and $240 to get even all the way to the end of the evening.
Okay, well, we'll do, a $20. Help me challenge.
Oh, it's Tracy's $20 help me challenge. Perfect. Anybody got $20 to put with Tracy's and help me? Oh, that fly is just a gift that keeps on giving.
Tell me about it. I had to do it. I was trying not to do it, but I'm like, okay, this is, I have to do it. Is help me.
Lewis wants to know where's Jared Kushner been in the chat or in the chat, Skype chat?
I don't know.
We haven't heard about Jared, have we?
Well, the last time we saw Ivanka was at the debate.
He may be slimed.
Or he's up in New York evicting tenants.
Or Maryland.
Looking at Jared, there's no way that he would be able, he would succumb too easily to the corona.
Well, the infection rate is higher in the White House than it is in New Zealand. Wrap your head around that.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way,
that's not the infection rate. That's the number of people who are sick. I believe the White House event exceeds New Zealand, Taiwan, and Vietnam combined.
Jesus Christ. Well, did you see what?
124 million people in the three countries have less cases than the White House super spreader event.
Well, you know how much Trump values the cover of Time magazine, right? So much so that he had a fake Time magazine cover created when Time wouldn't put him on the cover. And he gets upset every year when he's not the Trump person of the, or the Time person of the year. Well, they put one across his bow. The current cover of Time magazine features an image of the White House spewing coronaviruses.
Oh, that's great. Hey, what's the latest on the Nobel Peace Prize? That Euro Maggot, he nominated him. When is the?
They've come out with medicine and chemistry and physics. I think they do the Peace Prize last.
Okay.
God, I can't imagine the Nobel Committee.
Is there enough neural maggots where he'll get it?
No, it's not like that. The Nobel Committee would have to be completely out of its mind.
Yeah. Maggot infested. And I don't think they are.
Well, I don't think they're stupid enough to see that business deal in the Middle East as a peace plan. It wasn't. It was just
right.
It was just
an arms deal.
Yeah, it was an arms deal. It was business.
It so was.
And by the way, Lee in New York points out, subject line, climate change. As long as Californians keep raking the forest, everything will be fine. You got your rake, Sparky?
Yeah.
Tracy, you got your rake? Do you and Jan and Alex, y'all go raking?
Yeah. Rich, do you have...
Are you kidding me, Bob?
It's fantastic, Miss Sparky, you know.
What color is your rake handle, Tracy?
You know how many hundreds of millions of people it would take to rake the forest?
Sparky, it's a joke.
My rake...
I know.
The handle is... Okay, I'm sorry, Sparky, go ahead.
But I can tell by the air quality that most of the fires up here are getting to total containment, which is really good news.
For now, until the next one.
I don't want to be a real sucker, but the last time I worked for the federal government, they didn't pay me for shit. And why should I go out and rake the federal forests for nothing?
That part. Well, in answer to your question, the color of my rake is red, green, and black.
It's an Africa rake.
It's an Africa rake where the black power fists at the top.
Nice, yeah. Great.
Yeah, that's the Pan African rake.
There's the Pan
That would be a great rake. Costume for Halloween. A rake like that.
Several rakes, so if you want to hear about my rakes, I've got a rake with like a 10-foot handle on it that I can reach underneath the redwood tree and pull out its droppings because it sheds like crazy. And then I got another rake that I was in the ivy over between me that separates my house and the neighbor's house, and I found an old rake head in there, and I brought it in the shop, cleaned it up, spray painted it green, and screwed it on a piece of 3/4-inch EMT.
What's EMT, Sparky? For those
electrical metal tubing. Sorry. Oh. It's electrician speak.
Yeah. Electro talk.
What the hell are you even doing with a redwood tree in Red Bluff? It's too fucking hot to grow a redwood tree there.
Seems to be doing pretty good.
To my mother, Roger. She brought those two little sapling things or whatever that she planted from the Santa Cruz Mountains, and they took off. Except one's dominant over the other. I tried to find that picture of Ferg hugging the redwood tree, but I can't find it. When he was here.
Yeah, when he came down. God, how many years ago was that now?
6.
Wow. Oh, and on the way out the door, just a reminder, Nitwit Nero now says he doesn't think he's contagious anymore.
I don't think I'm contagious. I did really good on that drug. I was sick for a little while. I didn't feel good.
But there's no way to know. And... they won't tell us anything about, and this is how bad it got. On Fox News TV Radio Rwanda today, they interviewed Rona Romney McDowell, you know, because she's got it too. And she was pissing and moaning about the debate and about the debate commission choosing to make it virtual. And the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda host said, and wasn't particularly nice about it, said, okay, so show us his negative test results. Where are the negative test results? And, of course, Rana got the Rona. Romney McDaniel's only answer was, Joe Biden debate commission anti-Trump. Yeah, but where's the negative test result? Fake news. God. And so Dr. Benjamin Pinsky at Stanford University, the leader of the virology labs there, said, at this point, there's no diagnostic test that tells you whether a person that's infected remains infectious. There's absolutely a chain of unknowns. So for all we know, he's sitting there in the White House spewing with every breath he takes. Sheesh.
Well, everybody that goes into SEAM has to be in a hazmat suit.
You couldn't get me within 300 statute miles of him, and I think that's Sting, I'm right at the outer limits of that.
Is Sting going to write a song about him, Bob? Every breath you take.
Well, if someone doesn't, I doubt if Sting will, but I'd be surprised if somebody like Rocky Mountain Mike isn't on it. Well, listen, it's been a great conversation. It was a great idea, Sparky. Thanks for hosting thorn in the front porch Thursday.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
And thanks everybody for chiming in, sharing your opinion. Great to hear from you again, Tracy. Thank you for joining in, and thank you for the help me challenge that's on the table right now. Hopefully, somebody will meet that, and we'll get it down to where we're just dealing with $400 tomorrow, and we'll have yesterday taken care of. That'd be fan-freaking-tastic. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you so very much, whether by subscription at Patreon or PayPal or a la carte at during the course of the program, or those who participate via the U.S. Postal Service at the mailbox. Thank you, one and all. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, no matter the manner of your choosing. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, moderating the front porch discussion. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m., scarcely an hour from now. Headon.live is the very best way to listen to the Malloy program for all the truth seekers out there. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay home if you can. Stay safe. Whatever you have to do to stay safe, do it. If you have to go out, wear your mask, wear your gloves, wash your hands, don't touch your face. Keep some hand sanitizer handy. See what I did there? Maintain your social distance, 10, 13, 16 feet if you can. You don't want to be. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you saying, Donald Trump doesn't need a negative test, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later, y'all.